This is message number MM103. This is the fourth in the series of the Maranatha Motorcycle Ministry Conference 1997. This is entitled Joseph Got Him Out, covering Genesis chapter 37 by Stan Denning.
Why is it that when you transport something by car, it's called a shipment, but if you put it on a ship, it's called cargo? How come we don't spell the word phonetic the way it sounds? Are there seeing eye humans for blind dogs? What happened to the first six ups? Yeah, if an orange is orange, why don't we call a lemon yellow? And they have a, here's a good one. If olive oil comes from olives, what's baby oil come from? Guy came up to me last night, and the guy says, you know, he says, I'm taking Lamaze classes. So I'm not having a baby, I'm just having trouble breathing. And one other question. Do hermits suffer from peer pressure? What is a nice night for an evening? I went for a walk last night. My wife says, how long will you be gone? I said, the whole time. Again, something has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to be talking about. But that's the way our minds work. And continuing on looking at tough guys, what it is to be tough in the scriptures and being tough in the proper sense, we're going to take a look at Joseph. Joseph is one of the, to me, tough guys that you and I see that seems to do what's right. Joseph is one of the characters we don't read of anything negative about him. We don't read of a failure in his life or a moral breakdown or whatever it is. And it's kind of interesting. It seems like Joseph starts early in his life as a young man. Many believe that what we read about is happening within the late teen and the early 20 years. We know here it tells us that he was 17 years old in verse 2. As the story opens up with him, as he's still at home with his father and he's tending to the flocks and things of that nature, and he gets in trouble with his brothers. Joseph has been given a gift of interpreting dreams. God has also got a plan at an early age for this young man, because at 17 years old, he gives him two dreams that let us know what is going to be playing out in his life later on in his life. In the dreams, we see that those around him will bow down to him. We find out later on in life, he becomes the prime minister, if you would call him that, for Egypt. This is a young man who is going to start off in a pit and be promoted to the palace. Sometimes when we start off life as Christians, we were in a pit. Now, where you go from there, I think, has a lot to do with the way you and I act and the things that we do. What we said last night about David, David was doing things in his life that would have repercussions upon him 20 years later. Joseph shows us a similar thing as a young man, as he submits himself to the Lord and seems to have a great attitude, a great quality about him to take things almost in stride, that 20 years down the road, he becomes a deliverer, not just for his immediate family, but for pretty much the known world in that section of the world. Phenomenal stuff. Promoted from the pit to the palace. Promoted from being one that was left in a pit by his brothers to become the prime minister. The potential that's in this room would boggle your minds if you and I could see into the future, as we would say. If we could see with the eyes of God and the understanding that he has, what he wants to do and what he wants to accomplish, you and I would be blown away at who's sitting next to you and in front of you and behind you. If we would just follow the Lord in every way. And all, not just in some form or word, but in our entire life. We find that Joseph, as you go through chapter 37, I'm not going to do a whole lot of reading, but as he goes through, that he is hated by his brothers. He is envied. They become jealous of him. His family and his own kind plot against him. Makes him a slave to someone else. They sell him off as just a piece of property. First, they were going to kill him. Reuben kind of talks him out of that. And then Judah, who seems to be kind of enterprising, goes, hey, we can make a buck. Let's sell the little snot. Get him out of here. He's been a problem. And you know, I really hate that coat of many colors that he has. You know, he's always been daddy's favorite. And you know, you might have had that, something like that in your life, similar to that. And maybe you were the favorite, or there's somebody, or you felt it, you know, that old mother's brothers, mom always liked you best. Well, that's what seemed to be going on, because he was favored by his father. He was a late child for the old man. He's a special son. And he seems to be the kind of a boy, too, that is going to be able to tell dad what's going on. He has the opportunity at different times to give an evil report or bring the evil report about his brothers that they're flaking off. They're not doing their job. See, Joseph's doing what is right. And something about, to me, a person that is a tough guy for God in the right sense, you're going to do what's right, regardless of what people say, think, or do. And you're going to make people look bad, unfortunately. You go to work. You do your job. People don't like you. Why? Because you're doing what you said you would do for so much money an hour. When I went into the service, I was enlisted for 4 years. I'm there for 4 years. I ain't getting out. I had no desire to get thrown out and go through the stockadeway. I'm there. I'm doing my job. I used to have some of the civilian employees come up to me and go, "Whoa, hey, GI, lighten up." What are you talking about, lighten up? Hey, you're going to put me out of the job. Yeah, right. This is a government installation. Connect the dots. You know what I'm saying? It ain't going to happen. But I got in all kinds of trouble and all kinds of flack. I was threatened a few times and things like that. And they can make life miserable for me. And it's like, dude, it's the other way around. I'm here for 4 years. You can get fired. You do your job. You do whatever it is. And it has a tendency to make people that are flaking out, people that aren't above board, look bad. And to continue to do your job, to continue to be faithful, to continue in those things, you have to be tough. Or you will bow down. Or you will cower down. You will compromise what you know you're supposed to be doing. You're not comfortable with joining the little group, yet so many of us will join the little group because I don't want to cause trouble. I'm the new guy here. Well, you know what? Get to know who the new guy is. This is it. This is me. And I'm going to do what I know to be right and proper and correct. Joseph does that. His brothers hate him. They plot his death. One time his dad sends him out and says, hey, go see how your brothers are doing. And just to check on him. And that's all he's got, his little goodwill trip. And it says as he was coming from a distance, they go, there's that dreamer of dreams, the master of dreams. Why don't we just take him and kill him and see what happens with his dreams? And they were all kind of going, yeah. Reuben goes, whoa, well, let's not do this. But we'll throw him in a pit. You don't kill him. Maybe just let him starve to death. To give an idea how sometimes when you and I do what is right, like a Joseph, the way that your own kind can treat you, is it tells us in verse 25 of 37 that they sat down to eat bread. They throw the guy in a pit. He can't get out of the pit. They have lunch. Let's do lunch. Hey, guys. Okay, you're only kidding, right? And they have lunch. The world don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. Either you're a stepping stone or you're a stumbling block. And if you're a stumbling block, let's move this rock, throw it in a hole. if it's a stepping stone, I could use your back to get to the next level. So bend down here. Let me step on you. That's all you really are. Joseph is, we realize that he becomes a blessing to many others. The Lord has his hand on this young man's life, and everybody that this guy ends up being owned by, the Lord blesses him to where that guy's house is so prosperous, it's unbelievable. You know, it's real difficult for you and I to be tough in this sense, to where we know that we have a talents and abilities, and let's put it right where we most of us live. We all have the capability of making money. Doesn't it grind you that you make money for somebody else? Does me. But you know what? Joseph knew the hand of God upon him, and he went ahead and did his work, faithful to it. And God prospered not only him, but the household that he was a slave to. And his slave owners said, "This young man has the Spirit of God about him. That's interesting." Instead of, "Oh, here comes the complainer." You sometimes wonder, what do your employers think of you when you walk in? Oh, jeez. Oh, here comes Captain Grievance. What is it that we're known for? See, and with Joseph, it's amazing. He's hated, he's despised, he's sold into slavery. He starts off again 17 years old, and by the time that he's 19 or 20 years old, he's got a great position for a man named Potiphar. God has blessed him time and time and time again. Everybody that Joseph seems to be around, it rubs off on them, and they get blessed too. And he's serving someone else. He's been sold. He's been, as far as his family knows, he's dead. How you and I have a tendency, because of things that happen within our families, to be so stumped and so weakened because family did this, family's done that, family thinks I'm dead. They told me I'm no longer a part of it. They want nothing to do with me. Here's Joseph. He's a tough guy in the sense that he's able to continue on with the Lord in spite of such a severe lack of family love and the circumstance that they've placed him in. Instead of being hateful and vengeful and demanding my rights and I need to confront you, it's just basically, this is where it is, this is where I'm at, Lord, you're with me. Let's try to make the best out of the horrible situation as we can. And he had the capability of being able to do that. As you continue reading on about him, you find that he is able to handle the situation. Even though he is mistreated and treated very bad. Even though it seems like he's not loved, others realize the potential in him. His family despised him for the things that God had shown Joseph what he's going to be able to do. It was to others, they see that and they take it and they go, "Hey, come on over here and you watch over this, you take care of this, you deal with the household." And man, he just prospers. His gifts and abilities are realized, not with the people he might want it to be realized with, his own personal family, his own kind, but from others. In this situation, it's like the world seems to sense there's something special about Joseph, and his own family can't stand him. We've heard Jesus say that a prophet doesn't receive honor in his own house. You probably either used that saying or thought we were, "Yep, that's it. That's how it is at my place." So the God throws you out there in this old, ugly, nasty world, and they sell you off, and you work for somebody else, and you complain about that. And there are people there looking and seeing your potential, trying to develop within you to use that potential. It's really amazing. Joseph hated. His brothers are hostile towards him. It tells us in verse 4 they couldn't even speak to him peaceably. You might have come up and been around a home like that. Nobody had really a kind word to say. They were always just firing off on somebody, saying all kinds of ornery kinds of things about you. He would be rebuked by his father in verse 10. Because as he's talking about these dreams, he goes, "Whoa, whoa, so me and your mom are going to bow down to you? Hey, son, let's put that in check here for a minute. What are you doing?" We see that in verse 11, he's envied. Verse 18, he's conspired against. I mean, man, when your family's plotting to get rid of you, what do you do? In verse 23, it tells us of that coat of many colors he has stripped. And Joseph stays tough, as far as I'm concerned, through all of this. as a family and friends and whoever would be conspiring, as people are looking to strip you and I of that which has been bestowed upon us by that thing that's special to us. They want to take it away from us. Will we continue to stand? It tells us in verse 24 that not only was he stripped, but they cast him into a pit. Threw him away. You're just refuse. You're just garbage. You're interfering with what me and the other brothers have got planned. You keep getting us in trouble with Dad. You're trash. Cast him off. And then it tells us in verse 27 and 28, he was sold. How many people like to make money off of the agony and the pain of everybody else? Sold. You're just a buck now. Cha-ching. Come on in here. Let me see what you're worth. And as you continue on, they cover up for they make it look like he's dead. So Jacob would grieve and mourn and sorrow, but he's dead. He's out of our lives. As far as we're concerned, he's gone. He no longer exists. And in fact, in chapter 38 of Genesis, Joseph disappears. He's forgotten. Because that whole chapter is about Judah, the one that said, hey, let's make money. Let's sell him. And we see his little wheeling and dealing and things that go on in chapter 38. But for all intents and purposes, for a few years, Joseph is gone. Completely forgotten. Until we find him in chapter 39, when it says he was brought down to Egypt. And sometimes there's this, in this bringing down that takes place within a Joseph's life, the exaltation is there. But you and I have to be willing, well, even not willing, if you're just sold off to slavery, to be brought down. Many of the tough guys that we read about in the scriptures that are good have been all brought down. They've been brought to the reality of what the world thinks and just their real position. I'm nothing. Just a slave. Just something for somebody to cast off, to use at their pleasure. And if I don't turn them a buck, they send me on down the road to someplace else. Being brought down to Egypt. Sold again. First he was sold to the Ishmaelites. Now they hit Egypt and a guy named Potiphar buys him. Think about that, folks. We all put ourselves out for hire. We go for a job application, right? But normally we have a little bit of input. At least you give some kind of an agreement that you buy into the long hours and the little pay. You were able to say, well, okay. I'll do that for 6 months and then I get a raise, right? Joseph was like, you. How much? $10? You, in the van. And that's it. And picture the slavery of the old days. Could you picture that today on the job site? No, all of us would either be beat up, dead, or someplace doing the most horrible job and nobody could care. Joseph bought, sold, bought again. But in verse 2, it tells us the Lord was with him. Something that we might not be quite clear back in chapter 37, though the Lord gave him these dreams. But here in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I think another thing, a tough guy, tough girl for God, is able to work and to serve their master. And it might be an Egyptian. It might be this world. But you'll do your job. You'll do what you're supposed to do. You're going to do what the Lord would have you to do because he's with you wherever you are. Whatever you're involved in, whatever he places you in, he placed you there. The providence of God placed Joseph in a pit with some Ishmaelites, now with Potiphar. Gee, God has a plan to take this man to the palace. But he sure has a tendency of doing things backwards, huh? I always like the story about Paul. Paul wanted to go to Rome so bad he could taste it. Every opportunity he would say, let the Romans know, I'm going to come. And God gives him a completely all-expense-paid boat ride on a slave ship as a prisoner through a hurricane, poisonous snakes. And I finally make it to Rome. It's a vacation. It's a dream come true. I wonder if Paul, it was like on the boat, it's like, Lord, I'm not like doubting you, but really? Could we just like take a camel ride or something? Why is it got to be so difficult? Joseph sitting in a pit as his brothers were eating lunch. Did he see, did he know that he would be prime minister? No. What he did know is the Lord's with me. Now, it's difficult when you're in a pit to realize that. It's difficult as your family is probably looking over there as they're eating sandwiches. How you doing down there, boy? Yeah, tell me what your dream says now. And it's hard sometimes maybe to remember the Lord is with us when we're working for a Potiphar. And it's really hard. Sometimes all I see is the Potiphar. I don't see what the Lord would have. I'm not even considering that. I'm so caught up in my circumstance. I'm not such the tough guy that I should be because I let my circumstance take my little rear end sometimes. It's so hard, God. It's not fair. Can you make it nicer? This isn't any fun anymore. You said you were going to use me and doing it like this. Now, you may not be that dramatic. Or maybe I didn't even touch. You might be, I like to go into my garage and stuff. Amen. All that stuff. Picture a bit 6'4", 320 pounds. Sometimes I can always picture the Lord going. Are you through? Now I am. You know what I'm saying? Get that left shoulder. It's like, you know what, Lord? Why do we let those little circumstances? Why do we let the little Potiphar things? Okay, I say little. It's a big thing. This guy is owned by somebody else. He's just a piece of meat. But it's a little thing with God. Because God had a big plan for this little piece of meat. Potiphar might go, this guy's making, I don't know how what it is with this guy. All I know is his God is really like blessing him, keeping him. And even in the problems and even in the tragic things of Joseph's life, God was with him to prosper him to where he would get favor. And Joseph wasn't the kind of a guy that just kind of went, oh, that's not right. Well, all this stuff is for everybody else. Oh, yeah, yeah. I get to be the head butler. Whoopee. I want to be the owner. That's our problem. Okay? I want to be the owner. I want to own the butler. I don't want to be the butler. I want to own the butler. And when I can't, then I go and have my little garage and throw the stool and everything else, and I'm a tough guy. Something, though, about Joseph, it was seen by his owner. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him. It's kind of interesting. Here's this pagan Egyptian's got all kind of weird gods. Fly god, lice gods, frog gods, water gods. You name it. If it was probably an irritation to us, to you and I today, they'd have had a god about it. And he goes, the Lord's with that young man. He saw that. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he served him. He didn't complain about it. He didn't whine about it. He didn't gripe about it. He didn't say, you know, Potiphar, the only reason I'm here is because my brothers threw me in a pit and sold me. The only reason I'm here is because the Ishmaelites are looking to make a buck. The only reason I'm here is because nobody cares, nobody loves. And it's like, when am I going to get my due? He just served him. And Potiphar made him oversee over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. All because this young guy here started off at an early age doing and preparing himself to do what's right. And we see it played out 2 or 3 years later. He might be 19 years old right here in chapter 39. When he's working for Potiphar, then in verse 7 it says that it came to pass after all these things was going on, and the Lord is blessing Joseph, and Potiphar's aware of it. He makes him to be head over his household. In fact, the Lord was so prospering Joseph and all that he did in Potiphar's household, that Potiphar didn't even know all that he had. He so trusted Joseph with everything, and all he knew was with the food that was sitting before him. He didn't have a care in the world. He just went out and did whatever Potiphar does. And just left the rest of it. And while this was going on, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Sleep with me." In the midst of prosperity, here's a young guy, 19 years old, gentlemen. Nice looking woman. I have a feeling that Potiphar's wife was a good looker. He might have been a slug, but he had power. He had money. It has a certain attraction. And I think this lady was good looking. And at 19 years old, a good looking woman says, "Come lie with me." You go, "Where?" I would say, not even a second thought for most. "Come lie with me." And it's like, "Well, just the boss's wife. See, if I don't, I'll get in trouble." Yeah, that's how guys think. We can justify, do this, gentlemen, we can justify it. We did justify it. But he refused. Wow. That's something rare today. He refused. He said to his master's wife, "Behold, my master doesn't even know what is with me in the house. He's committed everything into my hand. And there's nobody greater in the household than me. Neither has he kept anything from me but you, and that's because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" See, when he told her no, it's because he was saying yes to God. The problem is we don't have a yes to God. That's why we don't know what to say when it comes to us, except, "Can I pray about it? Let me give it some thought." No. You know, what's amazing is the Spirit of God is upon every one of us. And when little things come up like this that can cause sin, you know instantly, no. But I'm able to deflect that no to a, think about it. Maybe. Let me go and ask the Lord. "Lord, can I go sin?" That's what it comes down to, isn't it? Now, you're the only one having the conversation because God said from the gate, no. So as you go, "Lord," you're talking to a deaf ear in that sense. You're not listening. You already know. This young man refused. This young man said yes to God, no to the sin. It tells us that it came to pass that she spoke to him every day. Every day he turned a corner. There she is. Walk around and walk into the room. There she is. Potiphar leaves. She's right on his heels. "Joseph. Joseph, honey. Joseph, dear." So one day she goes, "Joseph, come here." Grabs him. She kept hounding him day after day after day. She spoke to him. He wouldn't listen. See, he didn't just say no for one time. Every time, he wouldn't listen. And I think if you and I are going to be tough for the Lord, we're going to have to learn how to develop that deaf ear to it. That every time the temptation comes, we don't hear. We don't listen to it. It's still, you still hear that, "Joseph." No. "Oh, just shut up." No. And go about your daily routine and things. That's what Joseph was doing. Kept himself busy, as we would say. And she kept on and she kept on. He refused. He said, "How could I do this against God? This man has entrusted me with everything." See, Joseph realized that God was in his life. That's why this man trusted him with everything that he has. And the only thing withheld from me is his wife. And now she's saying, "You can have me." No. Damien Kyle, Calvary Chapel, Modesto, did a study on this at the pastor's conference just recently. And he talked about this Just Say No campaign. It's a little bit more than just say no, but it's amazing. He says he gets up in the morning, he looks in the mirror, and he goes, "No." No. No. No, no, no. He said, "Now people think that I'm arguing, me and my wife are having a big fight, but I'm just saying no." And he says, "I get myself sometimes all pumped up, I'm ready, man. So when temptation jumps up, no.
I'm already in the no mood. I'm already in the no mode. I'm ready. No, no. Refuse. No. Come lie with me. No. Whatever it takes, huh? So tonight or tomorrow morning, we hear all over the campsite, no, no, no. You have an idea what's going on? We're gearing up for the Potiphar wives of our lives, huh? But he continued in not listening. Okay? It wasn't just a one-time thing. Oh, that's cool. I'm going to remember that. And you do that sometime. And then that's it. He continued. As she bugged him daily he said no. He wouldn't listen to her, to lie by her, or to even be with her. He'd walk this way. She'd come that way. He'd go that way. If all of a sudden he was in a room by himself, it seems to be with her, he got away from that and he went someplace else. He would not even be with her. Okay? Hey, tough guys, tough girls, you don't stand around that, which is the temptation, and see how close you can get to it.
Just touch it over.
I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing nothing. Just standing close and you put your hand there. Come on. How close can I get to it without getting it on me? Kind of like grease and stuff, huh? How close can I get to it? And it gets all over you, and everybody can tell. Yeah. One time, one of the Sunday school teachers decided to take the kids out of the Sunday school class. This is when my oldest boy was real little and going to go to the park. So told me, if you do that, please, because of just safety precautions and everything else and moms and that, just really watch the kids. Don't let them just, you know, run amok. On the way back, they found some old cat, I think it was DCAT 9 or something. They were doing some work. And so all the kids, you know, it's nothing more than a big, what do they call those slides and the monkey bars with gear shifts. Anyway, when they come back from Sunday school, my kid's covered in grease. It's like, he got close, he got onto the thing, the grease got older, he was exposed. Well, see, and the poor Sunday school teacher, he couldn't even hit it if he tried. Because the first one around the corner is my kid, he's all happy. Dad, guess what? Yeah, your mom's going to kill you, me, and the teacher, and everything. And that's it. Close, and oh, it's a little bit, it gets bigger and it works worse. And when the best thing is just say no, stay away from it. Don't see how close you can get to it. I think somebody that is a tough guy, tough girl for guys says, I don't even need that. Why are we so convinced that we got to have all this junk? Why do we have to have the sexual escapades before we give our lives to Christ? Why do we got to rob, steal, and cheat? Why do we got to lie? Why do we got to do all that? Why do we got to have the stupid testimonies that we have? Huh? Do you realize my testimony, your testimony is a dime a dozen? That all you and I would be able to do right now if we stood and gave our testimonies, try to out-sin one another? I used to be worse than you. That's a testimony? No, Joseph got a testimony. There's a young man who gave his life to the Lord early on and continued. And when a good-looking woman, powerful and everything else, is right there saying, 19 years old, Joseph, no. And continued with, no. Would not listen, refused, and continued to, would not even be around her, that it finally came to pass about this time that Joseph was in the house doing his job, that it tells us there was nobody else in the house. In verse 12, that she caught him by his garment. She couldn't grab him, so she grabbed the closest thing she could get a hold of. Yeah. That little boy's quick. I can't, you know, I can't get a full-on body grab, so I snatch his jacket. And that cat got out of it, just weasel right. Boom. She's standing there with his man. And all you seen was a little blur to the right. I like the way the King James says that when she grabbed him, she caught him by his garment and said, lie with me, that he left his garment in her hand, fled, and got him out. Ooh. gentlemen, got him out when temptation comes. You know what I'm saying? What did you do? I got him out. I got too much to lose. I got all of the potential of God in my life. I got too much to lose to stand there and go, okay. You know it's not going to go, first it's this, and we'll stop there. Got him out. He left. All she had was a garment. You know, this shirt. That's it. That it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. This guy got this room so fast. I mean, she blinked, he was gone. He had been preparing himself for this moment in his life as a young man, for this temptation, preparing himself to get him out. He didn't wait till he was in temptation to go, what should I do, Lord? Oh, God, deliver me. When the lady comes up and grabs you and says, lie with me, that's not the time to make up your mind. Should I do what's right? Or should I have her? No, you should got him out. But if you're not preparing yourself for got him out, you're not going to got him out. You're going to get got in sin. And then you're going to lose the potential that God has got for you. Got him out. Fled. To me, that's a tough guy. You know, because anybody could have fallen into sin. Anybody could have laid with Potiphar's wife. She made herself completely available. I probably have no doubt there was numerous times that she made sure that she was somewhere in the dressing process for this young guy to see her. And no doubt she made herself available to see him at some point in time, partially dressed as he was in his servant's quarters. She was preparing herself for this love encounter. He was preparing himself. I get so excited I can't talk. He was preparing himself to got him out. No, got him out. Daily, preparing himself. Daily doing what he knew he had to do in order to keep the favor, in order to not do this great wickedness against God. I like the fact that he doesn't even bring up Potiphar. How could I do this thing to Potiphar, my boss? How could I do this to God? In fact, he says, how could I do this against sin, against God? To me, a person that is a tough guy is the one that considers what I'm going to be doing, in reality, is it for or against God? Is it sin or is it righteousness? And then to show that, to really play out that tough, is I follow through. But I got to have a plan to work on to follow through. And too many people today don't have a plan. Too many people today are not preparing themselves to refuse temptation when it comes. And as a result, they're not a tough guy. They're a tragedy. They're a Samson who let his body appetites rule till it killed him. Or a David who let the things happen to him to where his one sexual encounter that was so extremely vile and wicked with Bathsheba that it brought turmoil to the rest of his life and his family. Joseph is a completely different picture. Joseph is a young man in his teens who has been preparing himself, knowing that life is going to put before him so many temptations that he was prepared, whatever that temptation come, a Potiphar's wife or wealth or whatever it is, that he would say no. How can I sin against God? Yeah, I've been dealt a very hard life as a young man. My family hated me. They sold me off. They treated me like garbage. But you know what? God has been with me. Through all of that, how could I sin against him? How could I do such a wickedness? And sin is there every day hounding and knocking on the door and saying, Stan. Oh, Stan dear. Yoo-hoo. And you don't listen. All of a sudden, next thing you know, something grabbing your shirt. Boy, weasel out of that thing real fast. Let temptation stand there and you run off and they got your shirt, but that's all they got. They ain't got my dignity. They ain't got my testimony. They ain't got my witness for Jesus Christ. I got it. I have it. Because I've been preparing. Yes. And I've been trying. And I've been listening. And all these things that Joseph is a young guy. Instead of wanting all the power and all the... I want the cars, the cash, and the girls, man. I want the Lord. Maybe Joseph realized at an early age, Lord must have something. Why would he give me the kind of dreams that he's given me? You know what? I don't know what it's going to play out in my life, but I'm going to live my life in such a way that I'm going to find out what those dreams meant. Why disqualify myself before I even know what it is I'm in the race for? Why get thrown out of the competition when I don't even know what the trophy looks like? You and I do know what the trophy looks like. You and I know what is waiting for us at the end of the race. When we've been encouraged, run the race with patience. Cast aside every little weight and sin so easily beset you, so that you and I could run and run with patience. Run with endurance. Be a long distance runner. Because you know what waits for you at the end, a crown of life. Rewards that we don't even know what they really are. It's just that I want them. I don't know what they are. He says, I'm going to get them, so I want them. And then, at the end, seeing all of it, to know that you and I will be in the presence of the Father. I want to be preparing myself like Joseph did. So that when the time comes, I'm not standing there like some country bumpkin just fell off the melon truck going, what do I do now? Simple. Got him out. Don't fall for it. Don't fall into it. Run away from it. Flee from it. Now, most of us, I look around here and there's a whole lot of white in this room. So it isn't that we're starting off in our life as young men and young women, as Joseph did. But some of you did, but you can start right now preparing yourself for the next encounter with a Potiphar's wife. I don't care if you're young, old, or in between. To be done, it has to be started now. Today is it. Not tomorrow, not the next session, now. Because you get hit with a Potiphar's wife as soon as you walk out this door. Starts off a little thought. You also got to know Joseph understood, Joseph knew that this lady wanted him. And as a young man, I wonder if he had any thoughts of entertaining it in his mind. The reason I wanted that, because if I was that age and that kind of a deal, thinking about it. That's where it starts. I have a feeling Joseph, if the thought came, he cast it away. He cast aside those vain thoughts and imaginations. I cast them down, as I said, throw them down. Which would exalt itself against God. He started doing this early. He will have all kinds of things that will happen to him later on in his life. We stop here with Potiphar's wife, but we have one more deal where he ends up in prison again. And he's left. In fact, from the time of chapter 37 till we see him being exalted as prime minister, Joseph was 13 years or so under the thumb of somebody else's rule, a slave. Forgotten. He would be forgotten for two more years in prison. And then he would be exalted to the palace. A pit, prisoner, palace. Now, I would have never thought that'd be a wonderful plan to get somebody from point A to point B. But God knows. God knows what it takes to put you and I and to bring you and I to that place of being in the sense of the palace. And you might be standing in the middle of prison. You might be standing in a situation going, you got to be kidding me, Stan. No, I just return you to Joseph. You explain it. It's there in the pages. God's got a plan for you. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't make it hard on yourself. And God forbid we do that 40-year in the wilderness thing, where the rebellious ones die and the new generation goes into the promised land. Consider Joseph as a truly tough guy for the Lord. In the right sense. He did what was right. He stayed what was right. He continued it. And even though he had lulls in the action. Though we had times where he's forgotten and times where he's mistreated, he stayed faithful to God. And at the end result, we see because of his faithfulness to God, he is exalted to second in command in Egypt. And the plan that God had for Joseph wasn't so Joseph could be the prime minister and have his little secretaries and lackeys and entourage, but it was to deliver the so that you can continue to willingly now, instead of being a slave and having to answer to somebody else, that you would willingly give your life to feed thousands. It's up to you. It's up to me. Just like with Joseph. At any moment in time, Joseph could have blown it all, huh? Joseph didn't, though. Joseph found grace. Joseph was exalted. Even in the low stations in his life, was always exalted. Joseph was a blessing to his owners and to others. He was greatly tempted. He had a heart for God, though. A heart for God that played itself out in action. That's important. Because we can all sit here in this room and go, I have a heart for God. I just love the Lord and go do the most heinous sin. I hear it all the time. They love the Lord. Then how come they're shacked up? They just love the Lord. How come the guy's stoned out of his mind all the time? How come he's looking for a new job because he just stole all this? A heart for God? How about a heart and a walk for God? And we find also there was a temptation continually on Joseph. See, it wasn't just when we read of one little Potiphar incident. But can you imagine how many things? Look at your life. You might have one or two incidents that really stand out in your life. But are you not tempted every day? Yeah. Joseph was set up. His brothers, it's getting. Joseph ran. Potiphar's wife had him set up. She's going to catch him in the corner. He ran, outran her. Ain't no shame in outrunning sin, folks. Now, tough guy, stand there and fight it. No, no, no. You're going to get whipped. More than just getting whipped, you're going to lose everything that's really, really important. He was accused falsely. Remember when she's standing there holding just a jacket? This guy tried to rape me. A woman scorned. Back to jail in verse 20. But in verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. And he was given mercy and favor, and the Lord was with him. And verse 22 and 23, a repeat of the Lord's hand upon him, which would take us on into his next prison term. The Lord's hand upon you in your next prison term, so that you would be able to deliver Egypt and all the nations around from famine. God's going to use you. God's going to use you to be able to test somebody, but he can't use you if you're out there doing your own thing and you're snapping your own suspenders because you're so wonderful. So maybe he has to bring you down so that he can put you up. I don't know. You know better than I do in your own personal lives. What I do know, there's great potential for every one of you. Great potential. What will the Lord be able to do? All I know is I want you to keep yourselves in a place, and I want to keep myself in a place to see what the Lord would do. Not what the Lord would do without. Father, we'd ask you, as we consider Joseph, that this is one of those tough guy characters that we would like to be like, Lord. We don't see anything wrong with his actions, his attitudes. In fact, everything is so commendable. In fact, honestly, Lord, it seems to be so far out of reach that it must be just a story. But we know, Lord, this is your word, and Joseph was an actual person, and these things can be done if we have a heart for you that is followed through with action. Lord, if we would just understand and realize that your hand is upon us, and not let the circumstances control us or defeat us, but to let them circumstances cause us to become strong. To do the character building that you want to do in the prisons, in the pits, in the lack of family love, all these things that come against us, in the temptations, the great temptations that come to us. Lord, may we be a people that start early now in establishing good things so that when the times of temptation come, we would be able to say no and that we could got him out We thank you, Father, for Joseph and this study, and for his life, and for him being obedient to you and being tough in the sense of always doing what needs to be done right, irregardless of what everybody else would say or think, and even doing right if it would mean being thrown into jail. That Joseph did what was right. And you blessed him so far above any other that we see with a similar conditions. We want to be like that. We call upon you, Father, just to deliver us through these things that we are going through. And that you would, in due season, you would exalt. That we would keep ourselves in a place, Lord. We would keep ourselves in the love of God, as it says in Jude. And that we would be always in a place where you could use us. We pray now, Lord, that you would just give us time just to take these things in, to contemplate them, to mold them over in our minds, and to where you would personalize this for each and every one of us. That, Lord, we would just know this morning you were talking directly to each one on a very personal level. We ask now, Lord, for your hand to be upon us in Jesus' name. And the church would say,
amen. This is the end of this message. For further information, please contact Calvary Chapel of Paradise, P.O. Box 295, Paradise, California, 95967. Distribution of this message is encouraged without modification. And may the Lord richly bless you as you study His Word.